Basically, my situation is similar to Xandra's. I'm currently not really working on Chiclet, but it kind of pops up again and again in my teaching interests, and it kind of always is at least related to things that I'm interested in. So I decided to not talk about my other current projects, which I outlined in the brief bio sketch that I sent around. And instead, I'm going to just briefly say what I've been interested in these past 2, 3 years with respect to Chiclet and the novels that I've read, mostly more or less in my free time rather than what's free time in our job, right? This past year, the two projects that were linked, or that were basically Chiclet projects that I've been working on, both dealt with questions of race, identity, or even transnational feminism and representations of allyship in Chiclet novels by writers of color. And I was specifically interested in two British Chiclet novels. One was the one that's already been mentioned, Candace Cartier-Williams's Queenie, and the other one, which I basically learned about when I attended one of the workshop sessions that Amy's PhD student organized. So that's Aisha Malik, Sophia Khan is not obliged. Yeah, and in those two novels, I was particularly interested in the representation of opportunities for transnational feminist solidarity and constructions of allyship. So I thought that was really interesting. And in Cartier-Williams's novel in particular, I was interested in the representation of mental health issues and how they're connected to race, or rather to racism, and also particularly in how the novel constructs solutions to, so like how the novel constructs the heroine's path to recovery from mental illness. And that's basically also what I've been mostly interested in the past 2, 3 years. So I've become interested in critical disability studies and in the notion of able-mindedness. And a few of the approaches in critical disability studies that I've encountered, I've been wondering how they might be applied to Chiclet or popular romance, because, or I mean generally to post-feminist fiction, maybe, I guess you could say. If you don't want to draw the post-feminist fiction is the term that I always use if I don't want to make the distinction between popular fiction and literary fiction, right? Because it kind of encompasses everything. Because I really think that, and this is something that has struck me right from the start of my research on Chiclet, is that mental health issues, to me, really seem to play an important role in a lot of Chiclet texts, even if it's not at the surface, but the parents' well-being. Mental well-being, I think, is always very present. And it seems to me, and this is a wild claim that I cannot confirm yet, but maybe hopefully at some point, I think that perhaps maybe in Chiclet by writers of color, mental illness might even play a more important role because of the way that mental illness is so often rooted in the experience of discrimination or oppression. So I'm wondering whether that is particularly crucial in these texts. This is something that I'd be interested in pursuing further in my teaching, and also maybe if I have enough time, I'd also love to produce some writing on this. And I also really have a feeling that mental health and its representation in, fiction, film, whatever, is something that really hits a nerve with my students, especially after the past 2 years, basically. I mean, I think you all know what I'm talking about, right? So, for instance, last semester I taught a course on contemporary Black British fiction, and I chose only authors who were younger than me. So that was Cartier-Williams, of course, Queenie, and then Derek Owusu, a British podcaster and author, and Yrsa Daly Ward. And particularly in the work of Yrsa Daly Ward, mental illness also plays an important role. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's a former model turned writer via her spoken word performances. I think she self-published her first book of poetry, and she's now pretty big. She's often called an Insta poet because she uses the gram to publish and advertise her work. And I would definitely call her an influencer, a very clever marketing strategist. So I think she might be interested from a business perspective, definitely. I would not call Yrsa Daly Ward Chiclet, or it's definitely, she doesn't market herself as chicklety in any way, but I would definitely say that she is the embodiment of like a post-feminist sensibility. But she also includes very open, like, political topics and contents in her work. And mental illness is definitely one of them. So I think it'd be really interesting to read Queenie, for instance, in dialogue with Ursa Daly Ward's work, both on Instagram, but also her memoir, Ursa Daly Ward's memoir. It's called The Terrible. It talks about mental illness quite a bit, and I think that could be easily read in dialogue with Queenie. But what I find so interesting about her work and how she frames it, especially via Instagram, it's, I think her representation of mental illness or mental health in general is quite problematic. One of my students immediately came up with the term, or, you know, introduced the term toxic positivity in our discussions in class, because basically a lot of her work, I think, is very, or very much, you know, delves into these neoliberal notions of, you know, you only need, there's like, you have a personal duty to self-heal, you know, and you can get better if you only want to. And the self-healing is always often linked to like self-optimization. And so I was interested in the general idea of like, if chick lit does include mental health, mental illness, able-mindedness in its narratives, I was wondering whether chick lit also frequently then delves into these neoliberal post-feminist approaches, like there's a simple solution, you only need to find the perfect partner, or you only need to, you know, be more positive, whatever, or whether the representations of depression and anxiety and whatnot in chick lit or in the popular romance are more nuanced than that, which I'm pretty sure is my answer already. And I would definitely say that in Queenie, that is the case. I think the representation of mental health in Queenie is definitely a lot more complex, for instance, than it is in the work of Ursa Daly Ward. Yeah, so that's basically what I've been thinking about. So to sum up, like the links between approaches in critical disability studies and popular fiction or popular post-feminist fiction or post-feminist literary fiction, whatever. And I'm also obviously super curious to find out in how far the pandemic is going to find its way into chick lit, or in how far the pandemic has already found its way into chick lit, and I just don't know it yet because I haven't really looked this up properly, and in how far mental illness is going to play a role there. So that's what I'm currently interested in as far as chick lit and the popular romance is concerned. Thank you.